top headlines.
Celtics and Wizards tonight in D.C. According to head coach Brad Stevens, the regulars will be in and the starters will get a, quote, good amount of minutes, end quote. Gershon Yabusele out tonight and tomorrow with a knee injury. He is expected to be back for Game 1 of the playoffs. Tip-off tonight at 8 p.m. from the Capital One Arena. Grandy and Max have the pregame for you at 7:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Celtics Radio Network. Some good news for the Seas. Marcus Smart scheduled to make his return on April 27th. That's 2 weeks from Friday as he rehabs his surgically repaired thumb. Bruins back at practice today. They were without Riley Nash and Noel Achari. Practice lines were as follows. Bergeron, Marchand, Pasta on top. Krejci, DeBrusk, and Rick Nash on line two. Line three, Danton Heinen on the left. Brian Gionta in the middle. David Backes on the right. In the fourth line, Sean Corrali centering Schaller on the left and Wingles on the right. Ryan Donato not on any of the lines, but was at practice as the spare forward. Bruins have their first round playoff matchup. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that game one is on Thursday at TD Garden. Yeah. GM Don Sweeney addressed the media yesterday and detailed the team's postseason expectations.
We want to win. We've put ourselves in a position with 15 other teams. We deserve to be here, and hopefully we can continue to move forward. You got to play your best hockey. You know, the opponent wants to win as badly as you do. So you got to go out and put forth your best effort to try and get it done. And generally, over the course of seven games, a better team wins.
Chris Sale making his 2018 Fenway Park debut tonight as the Red Sox welcome in the Yankees. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Luis Severino on the mound for New York. Red Sox will be without Xander Bogaerts. He'll be on the shelf for between 10 and 14 days with a small crack in a bone in his foot. The good news is no surgery required there. And some breaking news last hour out of the NFL. Buffalo Bills guard Richie Incognito calling it a career. Incognito, who's 34 years old, told the Buffalo News his liver and kidneys are shutting down and that the stress is, quote, killing him.
Good career, though.
Pretty good. Headlines brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Fred Tutcher and Hardy. Call them now at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tuesday afternoon with Dan Shaughnessy on Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatles. Oh, you had a little Red Sox nugget here before we get to the Patriots stuff.
Just real quick here. You know, multitasking, checking emails, got my work email, got my home email up. And,
good for you.
This just popped up on my home email. You're going to game Thursday, right? April 12th?
Yes.
Red Sox?
Yes.
Nice. Blondies? Right?
Yes.
You got the good seats.
Yeah, I'm a guest of my wife. That's how I go to most games.
You got $38 in your pocket?
Sure.
Why don't you give me that? Because Groupon just popped up. Yankees, Red Sox tickets, multiple sections. $38 to get in Thursday night. Who's pitching?
Porcello, I think, goes on Thursday.
It's Porcello and Sonny Gray.
Oh, okay. Pretty good matchup.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bruins are playing that night.
Oh, that's game one of the Bruins that night.
$38. People trying to dump tickets to go watch the Bees.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Gotcha.
Still, Sox Yankees. Come on, Jim.
This is like the start of the baseball season.
Well, the weather's,
big now.
The weather's terrible, and the Bruins are playing
playoff
game.
Thursday's getting better.
Is it?
Start to turn. God. 60s. 60s on Thursday, baby.
That's good
news.
Yep.
Then we go back to 40 on Sunday after it's 78 the day before. Yeah.
So, Jeff Howe in the Athletic, not the Atlantic, as I insisted on calling it earlier, wrote that he spoke with Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft essentially said that Tom Brady, I hope he plays. And we were wondering, in reference to what? You know, what was the setup? So when we had Jeff Howe on earlier, this is how the conversation went. The answer that Kraft gives, I hope he plays, what was the setup to that statement? What was the question or conversation leading up to that statement, I hope he plays?
The question was basically a setup by saying, around this time last year was when you said that you just had a conversation with Tom Brady and he reiterated that he wanted to play until he's about 45 or 46 or whatever that mid-40s age range was at the time. And with all that in mind, do you still feel that same confidence level that Brady wants to play until he's about 45? And that's when he said, I hope he plays, and then the rest of the quote.
So there we go, Dan. That's how it went down with Jeff Howe, who spoke with the Patriots owner. It doesn't sound like Robert Kraft is in any kind of worry that Tom Brady is going to play this year. But as it's always been, after this year, who knows? It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that's kind of rising, this all goes back to Jimmy G. I mean, if it does end for Brady prematurely by his choice, I think there's going to be a little bit of feeling, well, geez, Tom, you screwed us. You know,
so
we traded the guy.
You say it's Jimmy G because that you think that that preface the Guerrero stuff.
I think that Jimmy G was moved to make Tom comfortable.
See, what's interesting is we talked a lot about Gronkowski. There was some new stuff on Gronkowski that, you know, the Kern report and all that, that Bill, you know, sort of chastised him in front of the team because he was training differently. This goes all the way back to training camp.
Sure.
Like, that's ahead of... See, everybody thinks it's the Jimmy G jumping off point. This stuff was going on since the beginning of camp last year.
Which we're starting, stuff, right.
Which what we're starting to find out more and more about. But, I mean, to even hear the owner address like, hey, it's really up to Tom and that, you know, even though we thought initially this is a year-to-year thing, it's a good job by Hardy because he asked how'd you address it? What was the question? What led Robert Kraft to those type of comments? And Jeff said, well, yeah, it was about playing until you're 45, 46. That changes everything.
Sure. And, and didn't the end of Tom versus Time kind of leave the notion that maybe he's not as into this beyond next year as
Five days. They asked him that 5 days after that ending.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't like you let it die for a month.
Yep.
Yeah, but, see, so there was a report. Brady was thrown with Edelman in the Empire Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Which Hardy and Beadle yesterday didn't think was a big deal. I thought that was a big deal. Because it's on site.
Sure.
That's team owned. That's not DB12 up top. That's not BC's indoor facility where Tom does throw.
Well, maybe they wanted to go to Red Robin afterward. It just made sense.
Bass Pro. It's getting to be, you know, maybe get some new lures. Maybe a new tent.
I'm all for looking into things, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that Tom Brady was thrown with Julian Edelman yesterday. What? That they're both getting ready to play next year? No. I don't think there's anything to be read into.
Tom said it's going to be a different offseason, you know? And I thought, maybe he's just going to show up for the OTAs. Maybe not. Will he show up day one of offseason training? Sounds like he's ahead of it.
Let me tell you, if Rob Gronkowski were part of the little triumvirate down there, if the three of them were all there, now, to me, that would say something. All right, Rob Gronkowski, I have more questions about in terms of his willingness and readiness and desire to keep going. But Brady and Edelman? No, those guys are playing. There's not a doubt in my mind with Gronkowski. There's a shadow of a doubt. There's reasonable doubt when it comes to Rob Gronkowski. I still think he's playing, but I wonder what his commitment level is, especially when you factor in all the stuff that we're learning about him. And, you know, Belichick, you know, went after him at the beginning of camp last year. I mean, you know, what are you doing working out with this guy? And you're not practicing very well. And all of a sudden, Rob Gronkowski's got, you know, a thin skin when it comes to this stuff. He doesn't like the way he's being treated. To me, there's more there with Gronkowski than there is with these other guys.
There's just so much stabbing in the dark with this team, and again, that's the way they like it, and it leads to that because they don't give up anything, so we are forced to try to connect dots all the time, and there's never been more of it than this year, starting with the Malcolm Butler benching, and on since then, it's just been straight through. I mean, I guess you go starting with the ESPN Wickersham piece, that's when everything started, and it's
working
just
on
never
another
stopping.
One. It's
oh,
working
good.
On another one.
Oh, goody.
I'm sure it'll be for the other side of it.
Okay.
Not. Are you doing a tomato can thing again? You got him at 12 or 13 again?
Well, I mean.
12 and 13.
Should we have you indoor in football?
Really?
What do you think?
Why did the Bills get rid of their quarterback after making the playoffs? Can you explain that to me?
They're getting a better one.
They finally made the
playoffs. They're going to get a better one. They're going to get a better one. I Tyrod Taylor, I think, is functional.
Yeah.
But I think they got, if you're going to be serious and you want to be more than playoff caliber like they think they
for
were.
The 18th straight year, the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins
dude, they
will be reinventing
beat Jacksonville
themselves at the start
if
of
they
the season.
Had a quarterback. They're looking at that playoff game thinking, if we had a quarterback, we'd beat Jacksonville. They were coming here, man.
Wow.
You're going to see them three times.
Bills Nation right here.
Bill's Mafia.
I'm sorry. It looked like Arkham was getting ready to say something. I didn't want you to jack Ruby Dan.
I didn't want to jack Ruby Dan either. I was just sort of, as you guys were discussing this, it just sort of dawned on me. We're talking about probably the greatest quarterback, okay, greatest tight end, greatest coach of all time.
All right. I feel this is a hot take right here.
All right. And just set it up because we're up against it here. Yes.
Okay. And it just, well, the point, I guess, is I feel like a lot of Patriots fans don't like this drama and don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the three greatest of all time at their respective positions, you have to talk about it. I mean, this has to be something that gets...
talk about it.
Gets, that's all. I mean, that was pretty much it. It wasn't that
pretty
hot
much
of a take.
All right.
Just had to get that in there, didn't you?
No, he didn't have to. I was trying to be nice.
He called him.
He startled Dan.
I don't look like he had...
The last
like he had
time he
more.
Spoke, he startled Dan, and I don't want anybody to be startled here, and I want everyone to be comfortable.
You're not nervous, right? You're not nervous here.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
We'll continue talking about the Patriots. Yeah. We're going to sprinkle in some more Red Sox notes with Dan Shaughnessy. Why don't you join us at 617-779-0985. Your calls are next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Dan Shaughnessy on with us, 617-779-0985. We got Sox, Patriots, Bruins all on the table. We got Zoe spilling a salad on the floor with oil and vinegar. Felger and Maz are going to love that when they come in here and it's got that vinegar smell
Ken's
to the studio. Oh, they're going to love you even more today than they normally do. All right, let's. We'll go to the phones here while Zoe plays a little mop-up duty over there. We'll start with Mike in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Mike.
How you doing?
I want to talk about the Celtics, but one quick thing I was thinking was that being the relationship between the Red Sox and the Roseanne show, do you think they could possibly get her to sing the national anthem? I think that would be another a cool
reprisal. They're probably not going to do that again.
That didn't work out well in San Diego.
It did not, no.
My selfish point was that, okay, if we don't make the trades last year, if we keep the team intact, you know, barring any injuries, we're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I know we had a lot of injuries this year with Kyrie Irving, obviously that's huge. But, you know, the naysayers can kind of put a check in their column that if they didn't do anything, they would be in a better position. What do you guys think of that comment?
If they did nothing, they'd be in a better position?
Well, if they did nothing at all, I would look at that team and say that they would be in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Mm. And as it stands now, they're going to be out in the second round, I would say.
Well, I mean, I think you could ask the question, is this Celtics team, as it's constituted, right now as it stands without Kyrie Irving, better than last year's team?
No.
Last year's team without Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah. What's the hit point?
About the same,
well,
I'd say.
It's about same.
Yeah. Well, I think they're a little better
without Isaiah Thomas.
Well, Brown's better.
Well, Isaiah was shut down.
Here.
I mean, think about that.
What difference does it make?
You got Brownie, you're better. You got Tatum.
Is one team better than another team?
I don't know.
Horford,
Rozier. I think Rozier's got some upside.
Nope.
You might get Smart back, right? We got that update.
No prayer of beating Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think Brown and Tatum make him better. I think that makes this year's team
this
better.
Coach, yeah. This coach, too. This coach knowing his team, and they're more athletic. They're taller. It's like Danny's thing, where it's like you really don't have that big man. Just big athletic guys. And let this guy out-coach the other guy in the series.
It was just so deflating when Kyrie went in, and you know he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, and you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be bad. And Marcus Smart isn't going to be back until second round of the playoffs. When they shut Kyrie down, first of all, the first thing it did was shut down all talk of Gordon Hayward so much as even showing up at practice anymore. Yep. Not only is it not going to happen, but who cares? You know, Brad Stevens, to his credit, has been consistent on this all season long, talking with us on this show where he's, you know, he doesn't even entertain it. And he says, I talk to Gordon every day. I see him every day. We spend a lot of time together. Not playing any basketball. Do you realize that a guy going out and shooting has nothing to do with him being able to practice, much less play?
And lightly jogging.
And lightly jogging? Do you understand
jogging.
That light jogging has nothing to do with what these guys do on the court night in and night out?
Working on flat ground.
Yeah, he says, I think Stevens even said, like, I've coached a lot of basketball. I don't ever remember seeing a guy take a shot from while laying on his back on the court. It's a neat trick, but it's got nothing to do with playing basketball.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Pedroia was taking grounders on his knees. He was waiting to get back from the ankle injury.
That's right. It was broken leg.
That's right. That's when Ellsbury was reading notes.
Yeah. Okay. That's very cute.
Front back.
It makes for a nice social media post, but it's got nothing to do with playing the game. So thank God we don't have to entertain anymore. No. Is Gordon Hayward coming back talk? But it was so deflating to just be like, well, there's no point in talking about the Celtics anymore. And I still think they're going to be a compelling story in the first round to see how good these guys are without Kyrie and, of course, without Gordon Hayward and without Marcus Smart out there to help them defensively. Yep. This is where it becomes incumbent for Al Horford to step up and show, okay, Al, what do you really have now? What is Al Horford going to do for this team?
It's a bad expectation. That's just going to set yourself up for letdown there.
There was periods in the playoffs last year where he elevated and the numbers were coming through.
Occasionally.
The double-double.
There were times this season when it happened. This is it.
But you know, Al makes everybody else better, creates open space on the floor.
I've been told on many occasions I'm not smart enough to see what he does on the on the court. Yeah, by people I know and respect. You know, Jackie McMullen saying if you can't see it, then you just don't see things. I don't see things. He's going to have plenty of opportunity, or at least four games, to show me something in the first round of the playoffs.
It's not him. It's not going to be the guy who takes the ball and
Well, I guess I'm dumb. I can't see it.
Not happening.
It's on me. Yep. I'll take ownership.
Your problem, Hardy.
Yep. Pat and Beverly, what do you got for us?
Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Really good.
I just want to ask you guys, especially Joe and Dan, do you think that Brady's issues started well before the training stuff was going on, where he couldn't have his trainer in the building anymore? I mean, I think this goes all the way back to when they got Garoppolo. I really do. I believe that the pressure they were putting on him was getting that quarterback and having him around.
Since they got him, he's taking it of what, four straight AFC championship games, won two Super Bowls, lost one?
Yeah, why all the pressure? He said he wanted to play another 3 to 5 years. Like, leave him alone and let him do his thing, and they've done nothing but put pressure on him.
Garoppolo made him better at the end, period.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's an indicator. And head coach went to the podium and said, we know it's Tom's age. We know the contract status with, I think it was Ryan Mallett at the time, and it's better to be ahead of it than too late. Like, he said right there, this is the next guy we're drafting to replace Tom. So, I mean, you could say, hey, it bugged him in that, but I think bottom line, that quarterback position.
Like everything else is just falling in place, you know. Then they give him the trouble with the trainer, and you can't have your trainer
Brady outlived
around.
Brady outlived the plan, and I think it made them a little cranky on the reverse.
Yeah.
You know?
So
all right,
that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate the call.
So you think it had a positive effect, the Garoppolo, the whole Garoppolo experience was positive effect on Tom Brady?
Hell yes. Okay. It takes me back to my the Parcells days. Hey, honey, you better be ready. Cause I said, keep bringing him in. Just keep bringing him in. You bring Jay Walker in, Jay Barker, Scott Cheese. Keep bringing him in. I'm going to beat them all out. It is the most competitive position. And we read stuff on Manziel from last week where he was critical of Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer didn't help me in Cleveland. Wah! One guy plays, bro. He's playing. He's not there to develop you. He was competing for the starting job. Now, if he came here, I bet Brian would help him. Brian ain't coming here to play. Brian knows his role here. That's a totally different situation, different mindset. One guy plays. If you have two quarterbacks, you have too many, or you have none. What's the old saying? Yeah. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
You have none. No, that could have been the worst thing in the world for Tom Brady to have Jimmy Garoppolo, not there. But, you know, at least the notion of someone breathing down his neck.
Right. I think it's the combo of that. Like, you're getting ready for me. You're getting ready for life without me. And you're going to waste a second round pick on it and not give me more help. See, that's where I think it could bug Brady. But Garoppolo made Brady better.
Yeah, but if it bugs him, that's good. I mean, that's what Brady is. He's always wanted to be the underdog, or the thought that his job is in jeopardy, and he needs that. So, let's keep it going. Draft somebody else. Good. You know, maintain that thing in his head where, you know, he's got to perform, or he's going to be out on the street. Even if he doesn't fully believe it himself, you know, whatever part of his process that works, fine. It's been working. There's no reason to stop it now. Jim and Beverly, what do you got for us?
Hey, what do you say, guys?
Hey, what do you say?
Hey, Dan, on J.D. Martinez, for everything you hear about this guy, he spent so much time in the cage. He watches all these videos.
iPad man.
his swing, I don't know, he just doesn't look comfortable, and he doesn't give you a good at-bat. The other night, bases loaded, two outs.
I know.
It's like four or five pitches, he's done. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, he's not looked he's not looked fearsome up there. It's a guy that he's been too easy to pitch to, and yeah, the obsession, the OCD with whatever this is with the iPad and looking at the swing and during batting practice,
it, visualizes,
you know,
going to bed.
And I think, and again, you make him a DH, and now it just becomes there's just nothing else in his world except checking his last swing.
Say it.
So
Pat Cooler 2.0. Say it.
That's
you're
going
to use it in a
that's
month.
Yours.
You're going to be. I'll allow you
that's
to use
yours.
It. You give me credit, bud. Okay, when it all goes awry,
I will.
You give me credit.
Always.
And I know it's early.
It's early.
I'm keeping track of numbers.
Yep. No, it's
he's brought here to hit 40 or mid 30s. So.
You know, again, it's been disguised by the 8-1, and that's great for him. He's able to kind of hang out, lay out in the weeds, and no one's really noticing. But
don't you think that's a good reason why? And I know we mentioned the Stanton stuff. But not a lot of people locally just like ripping, laughing, taking victory laps on Stanton.
No.
No.
You don't
not
hear
yet.
It.
Not yet.
You don't hear it here. We know it's early. You'll figure it. He'll end up hitting 40.
One more
that
call.
Guy.
One more call on the quarterbacks quickly here. Go ahead, Joe and Pepperell. What do you have?
Hi. So I was just wondering more particularly with Joe, what do you think about the possibility? I think if the Pats in this draft end up picking up a guy like Mayfield or Jackson, I think that kind of shows that maybe McDaniels is making the call there. If you look at their recent trends, picking up guys like he drafted Tebow in Denver, picking up guys like Brissett, Garoppolo, interest in Manziel, it seems like he has interest in these running type of quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I mean, be careful with the Brissett stuff. That's a Charlie Weiss, Bill Parcells kind of handpicked guy that was fed to them. And, you know, they brought in as a project. I don't think there's any long-term thing, but Jacoby played well when he's here. I like him as a kid, and I thought he's going to make he's going to make a lot of money in this league because he went into a bad situation in Indianapolis, played through injury, was available every single Sunday, managed games, got in, got out. I know he didn't win a ton, but he's serviceable. I do think this, though. I think the big thing with Josh is he's really working on helping to get the next guy. That may come in a draft. It may not. I don't know. It may be Mayfield. The problem is I don't think they're going to take a guy that high.
No.
If they're
up. I don't think Josh is taking over the draft board either. No matter how much he might like a guy, it's not his yet.
Well, Garoppolo's good, huh?
Yeah. Let us get Arcand and the headlines here. And then, Dan, we got something special for you.
Yeah? What do you got?
Ray Lewis chiming in on Odell Beckham Jr.
You're a God-fearing man, right?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Ray Lewis. I just love hearing him talk.
You are going to love this.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins back in practice today. They were without Riley Nash and Noel Achari. They were not present. Rick Nash was, though. He's back on the second line with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk. Brian Gionta centering line three with Danton Heinen and David Backes. And the fourth line of Sean Corrali centering Schaller on the left and Wingles on the right means Ryan Donato not on any of the lines, but he was on the ice as the spare forward. Bruins have their first-round playoff matchup. It kicks off Thursday at TD Garden against the Toronto Maple Leafs, whom the Bruins dropped 3 of 4 regular season matchups against. Celtics and Wizards tonight in D.C. According to Coach Brad Stevens, the regulars will be in. The starters will get a good amount of minutes. That was a direct quote. Gershon Yabusele will not be there tonight or tomorrow. He is expected to be ready for Game 1 of the playoffs as he nurses his injured left knee. Tip-off tonight is at 8 o'clock from Capital One Arena. Grandy and Max have the pregame for you at 7:30 right here on the 98.5 Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. Some good news for the Seas. Marcus Smart scheduled to make his return on April 27th as he continues to rehab his injured thumb. Tonight, Chris Sale makes his 2018 Fenway Park debut against the New York Yankees. Yankees coming to town for the first time. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Luis Severino on the mound for New York. Red Sox will be without Xander Bogaerts for 10 to 14 days. He has a small bone crack in his foot. Good news is no surgery will be required. Headlines brought to you by WestJet Airlines, now with low-fare daily flights from Boston to Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax. Book now at WestJet.com.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like.
video.
The acoustic guitar?
So when his hair is its best.
Who is this? I think I
George
know.
Michael.
Yeah, I knew that.
The one you...
killed him.
You killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you say about him?
I was on with Kaufman around Christmas time.
He'll be dead.
And it was... His name came up for some reason, some song or something. Might have been during dates, whatever. And I said, is he still alive?
It was Christmas. It was George...
It was
Jim,
right,
what was the
Christmas.
Christmas song he sings? Damn it.
And I
Wham,
did.
Wham, Last Christmas.
Last Christmas.
Right, so I asked if he was still alive, and we Googled it, and he was. But then the next day, he wasn't.
Yeah, 45 minutes later, he died.
Remember I was in Florida for break? I called you. I'm like, you killed George Michael.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That was Zoe was very sad when George Michael died.
Yeah.
You're a fan.
I didn't see that one coming.
No. Yeah. So, Odell Beckham Jr. I get... What issues has Odell Beckham Jr. had?
Oh my God!
The video with the drugs and the pizza.
Thank you.
There was that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I that's the one I couldn't remember. So he was in bed, and we don't know for sure, but he appeared to have been in bed with a woman. Something that looked like it could have been cocaine. I mean,
she had something that looked like it could have been cocaine.
Right.
He was holding something that looked like it could have been a blunt.
Could have been a marijuana cigarette.
Could have been, yeah.
Christian.
He hung out with Justin Bieber during a bye weekend instead of getting ready for the playoffs.
Okay, so there's been a few things.
A lot of in-game stuff, though. The hand-to-hand combat.
He and Josh Norman throwing down. The one
stop.
Carried a bat out.
But I was thinking more recently, like something that would lead one Ray Lewis to kind of, you know, really feel like something had happened more recently. So he was asked about this.
Really?
Did he stab a guy?
If there's Ray Sound, I'm in.
Oh, there's Ray Sound. So, Jim, where do we get this from?
Colin Cowherd.
Thank you. All right, so here's Colin talking with Ray Lewis about Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham was on the market. Nobody offered. Yeah. L.A. Rams, I was told the Rams vetted him. Didn't love what they hear.
Yeah.
If you could sit down for 10 minutes with Odell Beckham, what would you tell him?
Where there's no God, there's chaos. Odell has removed God from his life.
Time
this
out.
Is a kid.
How do you know God was in his life?
Well, I think we're going to find that out.
Okay, because like you say, hey, he removes it. You got to know that he had it in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
God is not in his life right now. Without God,
God is everywhere.
Without God in your life, there's chaos.
He's
okay.
In this room, we don't know.
I'm on board so far. Go ahead, Ray.
This is a kid that grew up under the covenant of who God really is.
Ark, the covenant.
And everything that he's doing, he's crying out for help. We have a lot of people reporting about him, but it's always been the duty of elders to go back to help them.
Stop. A lot of church speak here. Talking about church elders.
Odell Beckham, by the way, grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay. Okay. Well,
just seem
I don't think he's talking
like
about literally physically where he grew up. He's just talking about how he was brought up
right.
in the church, religion, spirituality, things of that nature.
Did you see him last weekend at a friend's wedding, a choreographed entrance that he did? Didn't look like he's crying out for help. He likes attention.
Okay. All right. So far, so good. What do you got, Ray?
So that's why I raised my hand. And I told him, I'm here, whatever you need.
What do you say?
Well, it's not what he said. It was the commitment he started to make. So we started to make those phone calls. We started to have conversation. And then I started to see he started to distance himself a little more, and a little more. And the moment, just listen to me, Colleen. I don't care about religion. I'm talking about a
fountain. Yes,
I disagree.
Sounds like he cares about it a little bit.
Cares a lot about religion.
I play with a guy, and this totally reminds me of Irving Fryer. And I tell a story all the time. I loved Irving. I thought he's one of the greatest receivers I've ever played with. He and Terry Glenn, my top two, along with Frank Wycheck. And I got the good Irving at the end, where he was really busting his ass. And he became sort of verbal like Ray, where he was a preacher at the end in a locker room, raising the hand, and, hey, youngin, thou just lookest at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got that.
He was great at the end.
He had a good resurgence in Miami, man. He and Danny got along great.
All right, so far.
What was that thing with Irving Fryer and his mother, by the way? Didn't him and his mother get like...
A little bit of a scam.
Like a mortgage fraud or something like that?
Yeah, there was some...
matter.
Yeah,
everybody's got something.
But that's a paperwork thing,
Was when he took the Lord out of his life.
He and Harley Dykes are badasses. They had two matching Corvettes, and that's the reason I got a Corvette. I blame them for my Corvette affinity. They had these emerald green Corvettes, and one said bye-bye in the back.
It's awesome.
So far... We have Ray Lewis saying that Odell Beckham Jr. grew up under the covenant of God, that God is not in his life right now and there's chaos. At some point, he saw what was happening. He raised his hand. He said, Odell, I'm here for you. We started talking, but then he started to distance himself. That's where we are, right?
Meaning he didn't call him back anymore?
Yeah, he wasn't calling him back anymore. Ray Lewis says, I'm here. Let's talk about it. But this isn't about religion. That's where we left off. Okay, go.
I'm talking about a foundation.
Right.
When your foundation is disturbed, when everything you're doing is the opposite of what's got you to this place, then you're making your own bed hard.
In Baton Rouge, it was football.
It's simple. It's simple.
His life is less football today.
It's less football. Guess why? I tell people this all the time. Wow. I just spoke at this church a couple of days ago. Oh. You show me your crown, I will show you your future.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Show me what?
Crown?
Your crowd.
Crowd.
People this all the time. I just spoke at this church a couple of days ago.
You spoke it?
You show me your crowd, I will show you your future.
Yeah. What? The people you're hanging around with.
He sounds like a fortune teller.
I don't know what the hell he's talking
show
about.
Show me your friends. It's everybody says this.
Show me your friends. Yeah, all right, the crowd of people you hang out with. I would show your...
I got that.
This is a new epiphany.
That's what you tell your high school kids.
This is pretty good.
Don't hang out with
those guys. I want to goof on it, but I like that. You show me a crowd, I'll show you your future. Good. All right, does it go off the rails? What does he say?
Justin Timberlake ain't never played no football. I love Justin. Right. But Justin ain't getting out there on that ground like that.
Yeah.
These guys he hanging out with, they're in studios all night. They don't have to get up. They don't have a time clock. They don't have... No discipline when it comes to athleticism.
Right.
Athleticism.
All right.
Now, I don't know if your athleticism is better than mine, but I saw Julian Edelman last week hanging out with Justin Timberlake. Now I'm worried.
I think he meant Bieber.
But the fact is,
that's who he was hanging out with in the playoffs.
Tom Brady can go to the Met Gala. Tom Brady can hang out with people. Tom Brady can do this, that, and the other. But you know what else Tom Brady hangs out with?
Ben Affleck.
His receivers, in Montana during the offseason. He hangs out with Tom Brady does as much hanging out with the football people as he does with the other people. I think, you look at your crowd, but you look at who you're spending the most time with. So far, I'm on board with this.
I know we're making fun of Ray here, and the subject is Odell Beckham. But there's a point in this whole thing that gets never brought up once. Where's Eli Manning in all this?
Mm.
Because you mentioned Brady, and
maybe not calling him back either.
That kind of it's a little signal. You know what? I'm the ringleader.
Okay,
Edelman, Amendola, let's go. We're going to bubble. We're going here. We're going there. Where's Eli Manning in his kid's life?
We got 30 more seconds of this to listen to, and we'll do that next. And we'll also do Dan's dates.
Dan's dates
coming up.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You show me your crowd, I will show you your future.
Yeah.
Man, Justin Timberlake ain't never played no football. I love Justin. Right. But Justin ain't getting out there on that ground like that.
Yeah.
These guys he hanging out with, they're in studios all night. They don't have to get up. They don't have a time clock. They don't have no discipline when it comes to athleticism.
Right.
All right, so that's where we left off with the Ray Lewis on with Colin Cowherd talking about Odell Beckham Jr., trying to figure out what's gone wrong with him. Doesn't have God in his life right now. There's chaos, a covenant. Look at your crowd. That's what your future is.
Good luck. All right, so
we got 30 seconds left on this before we get to Dan's dates. Let's roll it, Jim.
All right, it's a different discipline.
It's a totally different discipline.
Yeah.
And when you see this, what Odell is doing to himself.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not just going to call him out. I'm going to call him. Okay. See, a lot of people calling him out, disappointed. No. What I'm disappointed in is we had an agreement as men. And the difference of me and everybody else, I don't need nothing or want nothing from you. But when you tell me you want me in your life, to help you.
Wait.
When you tell me that.
Who's God?
No, he's.
Is he God?
No.
I think he thinks he's God.
No, he doesn't think
like
he's
a little God. Bit. A little bit, I think he does.
You got to have, if you're religious, they tell you how to have a personal agreement with God, that God is in your life. And so who's the big guy? Is it Ray Lewis or is it God? Ray Lewis thinks he's God.
Ray Lewis is simply saying, I can help you find God. I have a personal relationship with him.
Jim, I don't think so.
He said he knows God's not in his life anymore. How does he know God's not in his life anymore?
Tell me.
The only thing he knows is that he's because not in his life anymore.
They had a commitment as men, and he was going to, you know, help him make that connection. God, let's hear the rest.
When you tell me that we'll be accountable with reading our Bibles and sharing scriptures.
And it just doesn't work.
And it don't happen.
Tell him, Colin.
Then you wonder why things around you starts to happen.
Now I know why he's not on TV anymore. I mean, I was kind of looking forward to it, but
well,
pretty hard to nail him down on any of that.
It's pretty hard to nail him down on convictions or on other things that he's been accused of. Yeah. It's wonderful that Ray Lewis has become this moral arbiter for everyone in the league now, and now he reaches out.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he has. Remember, he walked the mean streets. Remember back in the day when, who did he do that interview with where he told him, remember when the NFL was going to have a work stoppage?
Oh, that's right.
All the evil will be there. Said, yeah, right.
Wait till you see people love us and they depend upon us.
Yeah, that's right.
People going to be in the streets robbing each other if there's no NFL games.
Evil as we know it.
And
as crime.
Debauchery.
He never disappoints. All right, time for Dan's Dave.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Now, Beetle doesn't like to ask this anymore, but I always like to ask, what do you think, Dan? Good day, bad day?
It's fair. It's fair. We had a strong day last week. but yes, we did. April 10 is okay. How old do you think John Madden is today?
73.
I'll say boom, bow. He gets that one up in there. I'm going to go 77.
John Madden is 82 years old today.
I was going to say 80.
Yeah. For him.
Steven's
got bad feet.
Does he?
Yeah.
How
he
bad?
And Bill Parcells used to have the worst feet in the world, that Parcells would wear foot joys, but take the screws out of the bottom because the golf shoes, because they were so soft and cushy.
Oh, yeah.
He used to wear those saddle ones all the time, big white ones.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Madden used to have ortho walkers.
Steven Seagal is 66 today.
Another jelly boobs.
The mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh. How old do you think the mayor is today?
Marty?
49.
I go 56.
He would be 51.
Is he really? Wow. He's good looking for 50. Yes. Good. He's a young looking 51.
You know who's young is Mandy Moore. Her birthday's today, April 10th. She's 34.
I don't know who Mandy Moore is.
She's been off the radar for like Mandy 10 years. Moore.
This is Us.
I just said that. I don't know
she's
who
the
Mandy
mom,
Moore.
And This Is Us, and she was in all those. She was on shows. She's a singer.
Yeah, she's singer, been out.
She was in Entourage.
She was in some shows.
Entourage, the girlfriend, yeah.
This is good. Yeah. Vague dates today.
No, that's it. Yep. I believe today is Omar Sharif's
birthday. It's like doing one for a rock star. Well, he was on the radio. One time.
Mr. Hertz was born today. He's not with us anymore. In 1879 in Slovakia.
Hertz is that?
Sandor Hertz.
So you mean they've been having rental cars for that long?
He moved to Chicago where he was raised and then started it there with a cab company and on you go.
By the way, I'm looking through Mandy Moore's IMDb. I don't think I've ever seen one thing Mandy
never
Moore has
seen
been in.
Entourage or This
nope.
Is Us?
My kids used to watch some of her shows back in the day.
I mean, I watched a minute or two of Entourage, but
she played herself in that.
Zo, who do you think was born on this date in 1958 in Denora, Pennsylvania? Is that how you say it?
Today, on this date, 1958.
Is it Denora?
Yeah, not Kenny Griffey.
60. Yeah.
Kenny Griffey Sr.
Griff Sr., yeah.
My dad, who's listening now, went to high school with Ken Sr.
So Griff Sr. is 60 today.
How about that, our town? Griffey Sr., stand a man music.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And Joey.
That's pretty good.
Your dad is 60?
70.
Griff.
So you can go to high school with him.
Well, same high school.
Okay.
So he said.
Right. Denora High School.
He
became Ringgold.
This man is no longer with us, but Chuck Connors was born this day in 1921. He is famous for. He was the rifleman on TV. He played for the Celtics and the Chicago Cubs. Chuck Connors. Pretty good career. You've seen The Rifleman, right?
No.
Nothing?
No
okay.
Clue.
Sorry, it's black and white.
Gunsmoke?
Reruns on
AMC. I saw
Ponderosa.
Bonanza?
He was the first dunk in Celtic history. He shattered the backboard at the old Boston Arena. Chuck Connors. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he was there. Okay, stuff that happened on April 10th. In 1912, the British liner Titanic set sail from Southampton, England on its ill-fated maiden voyage.
So Jack was on that boat.
Jack and Rose.
Rose.
Yeah.
And Billy Zane.
Yep.
No.
Wasn't Billy Zane.
Yeah, it was.
Wasn't his name.
And the unsinkable Molly Brown.
On this date in 1866, the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was incorporated.
Hmm.
ASPCA. On this date in 1947, Branch Rickey purchased the contract of Jackie Robinson from the Montreal
Ricky,
Royals.
Hey, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so
I'd say that's pretty important.
Hey, Ricky.
On this date in 1925, F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, was published by Scribner's. Did you see that in Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield?
The Great Gatsby, he was great.
Just the typical answer of a kid who didn't read it. You know, yeah. It's like, I love that. On this date in 1970, the Beatles broke up. Paul McCartney made the announcement.
So they were only together for like 7-8 years?
I mean, 64 is the Ed Sullivan Show, so it's basically 64 to 70 is the window. I mean, they were together before the Cavern Club and all that stuff. That
when they do the bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, there was always bad stuff all along.
Yeah, that's a dirty little secret.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Yellow
true.
Yellow Submarine one and all that, like the latter stuff. Wasn't
and Hardy, the last one, this is for you, Hardy. On this date in 2005, Tiger Woods won the 4th Masters.
Ooh.
Was that it? 4th?
In terms of Masters?
Yeah. Gotta be, right?
I know he's won
14 majors, but...
I don't know if he won.
The last Masters was 13 years ago.
That sounds right. Let's see.
Just asking.
Well, Jack has 6 green jackets. Tiger doesn't have as many as Jack. And we can find out easily enough.
Well, I just didn't mean to throw you off your game there.
No, that's all right.
Kind of puts it in perspective.
4 Masters. Last one was 05.
Yeah. There you go. On this date.
Four.
On April 10th.
Excellent.
And, fellas, I will not see you next week because you know where I'm going to be?
Squid Square.
I'm going to be up north in Toronto watching the Bruins, telling you guys all about the hockey.
You can eat poutine when you're up there?
I don't think so.
Why not? Poutine's pretty good.
Okay.
How do you feel about Toronto as a town?
A lot of smokers. They smoke a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And,
a lot of what?
A lot of what?
Smokers.
What did he say?
He said smoke a lot of what?
Oh.
Cigarette smokers?
Yeah, cigarettes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, everybody smokes. But no, it's a... Hey, you know what? This is for them. This is the Red Sox in 04. I mean, you know, they're still living with... The 3-goal lead here in 2013
Bergeron!
In 14.
Bergeron!
And, you know, they haven't won anything forever. The hockey is so important. This is way more important up there than it is here. So I look forward
to it. Let's go, man. 2 original 6.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing cranked up. We'll be live from the Garden on Garden Studios on Thursday.
All right, I'll give you guys a call on Tuesday from Toronto. Let you know how Game 3 went.
Very good.
Great. Okay? Dan Shaughnessy, appreciate
all right,
it.
Dan.
As always, 90 seconds here. Christian Arcan's headlines. Zoe and I are here, obviously, for the whole show today. So Dan leaves us, but we get back talking Sox Yankees.
Dan's like a bull.
We'll begin their series tonight at Fenway Park.